And I have a joint show again here with my girl Lori from the Angel Rock, and we're going into our summer solstice there. This one's called Summer Solstice Sangria, just summer wines, I guess, and stuff like that. And we're coming in, and we have our lovely guest again here, Marla Ventura, that we've had on for our quarter points of the year, and there's Lori again. So,
notifications off. I get a million messages, of course, yeah. Right now, so that's why I turned it off, because it'd be going ding, 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 ding.
So, Laura Lee from the Angel Rock, she's going to be joining me here again there with Marla. Say hello, Laura Lee.
Hello, Laura Lee. No, hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Nice to see you, Marla. We didn't get a chance to chit chat before. I hope you're well.
Yeah, thank you. Hi. Nice to be here, you guys. Always enjoy talking with you.
I'm here.
So,
that's how long he's been jacking my guests, my good guests.
So you come into this summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year, and it's actually a very magical time. We have, I guess the whole thing out of it is that the longest day of the year, a lot of things are out there. I haven't really seen too much stuff about the lore around the summer solstice, besides that fairies are around. And maybe that's the whole reason why we started a little late. Maybe the fairies were playing havoc there at the station.
Right, too, thank God.
Yes. And we also, this year, too, June 21st, there's also going to be a strawberry moon this year. And actually, this whole year of 2021, we have the most amount of full moons this cycle that's going through during this course of this year, which is sort of interesting. But what can you tell us about the summer solstice there, Marla?
Yeah, well, happy solstice. It's absolutely true that, like many of the other kind of holidays and what we might think of as the Celtic year or the pagan wheel of the year or the witch's year, the solstice is another one of the times when it's believed that the veil is thinnest. And so it's a time when fairies and other worldly creatures can cross over and run amok. Not unlike Halloween or some of the other kind of high point holidays. And of course, it's the opposite of the winter solstice, which is the darkest time of year. So it's really a time of joy. It's a time of people kind of like celebrating coming out of the darkness of the prior seasons. And, you know, traditionally, it's a time when high magic is afoot, and also quite a bit of mischief. So I was thinking, yes, it's quite possible that the fairies are sort of messing with us right now as we're running just a little bit behind, because we're on fairy time, and fairy time is not linear. Fairy time doesn't stick with a clock, like you know, hey, you guys, it's supposed to start at 8 o'clock. Well, you know, too bad, you're on fairy time. It started 8 o'clock next year. You don't know what's going to happen. It's fairy time. But it's definitely a time that traditionally was used as a means to kind of certainly blow off some of the steam of all of the sort of work going up into that year. It's also a time of blessing, and you know, usually by now you've got your seeds in the ground. You've got, you know, it could be metaphorical seeds of maybe you're starting something new. It could be that you've actually planted your garden and the seeds are starting to sprout out. And so you're starting to see some of the fruits of your labor, and it's a time of celebration. And because of that, the fairies will manifest, right? Because they're like, oh yeah, so sprouting, we're here. We're here to, you know, pick the cherries off the tree.
Yeah, well, that's also, we have June, which is Juno, fertility, right? There's a lot of Romans and stuff like that. But when it comes even into festivals, we always have things that are always a festival. We have that San Jean festival where they're burning stuff. We have also one that happens during the part of your big bonfires. And what I looked at is that sometimes they save that ash and they save that for that festival where they're to plant or to lay out on their gardens to reinvigorate the soil over the winter time, right? Because you got to think of a lot of pagan traditions around harvest and food, right? The hunter-gatherer,
sure,
sort of stuff, eh?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Things were built. built around the survival of your group, and the survival of your group depended primarily on food and shelter. And so warmth and heat, and you use the seasons and these kind of high points of the seasons to call upon the entities that were, the forces beyond your control, and implore them to protect you and to bring you good luck and a good harvest, because everything really kind of hinges on that.
Yeah, I say, Carla, I'm going to stop you there for a sec. You know what? Some people may not know about you. So do you want to tell people about you for a sec? We got right into this.
We were running to catch up. Sure. My name is Carla Ventura. I'm the author of several books on sort of, paranormal and spooky topics. The most recent ones are Barlow Ventura's Paranormal Parlor, and that's a book about seances and spiritualism and kind of the history of hauntings. And then prior to that, my book that came out is called Fairies, Poopas, and Changelings, and it's a guide to the sort of wicked and wild enchanted realm. I've also written on topics like mermaids, banshees, werewolves, vampires, strange trivia. So kind of an array of things there. And you can check my books out at my website, which is barlaventura.net. And I'm just kind of a weirdo, a lover of witchy things and rituals. And I feel like the world of the paranormal, the world of the unexplained, the world of the fairy, the unseen, is just such an infinite, as a storyteller and a writer especially, it's just infinite. And I love getting in on shows like this, and we share stories, we've heard different versions of the same story, or we know folklore from a particular area. I'm sort of a supernaturalist and a folklorist, and just really like to talk about weird things. All night long.
you're in the right place with us, that's for sure.
Yes.
But so there's other this is one thing that I didn't even know about, and maybe you didn't. Actually, this time it's called Litha. This solstice time, and that's the only thing that I found out was that having these bonfires and collecting ash and stuff like that. And I think there was one in Celtic or old European where they would make a wheel, set it on fire, and roll it down a hill into the water. This whole thing of fire and water, darkness, that this balance between good and evil, and that whatever symbology that they were thinking. Because you think a lot of like these hunter-gatherer people, like you just said, dealt with this whole basis of needing food, right? So appeasing these unknown forces that were out there to benefit themselves, hoping that it would sort of work. And then I think about Shakespeare, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Always.
Dealing with fairy time, and it's the midsummer. This is what we're in right now. And playing tricks, right, and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And, that whole play is basically set in the fairy realm as the sort of, they fall asleep on the fairy mound, and then the queen comes out and the king comes out, and it's really a time of celebration. And it's also, while it is the longest day, and so the light traditionally, at least in the northern hemisphere, right, the light is longer, and it gets dark, there's just a shorter night. There are still some precautions that traditionally you may need to take. You certainly don't just go out and start partying. You have to make sure that you're also making offerings to these unknown beings. And so sometimes you'd be burning that fire. One might argue that it was to keep things away just as much as to honor things. And I think you see just prior to this, you have Beltane, which is sort of the festival, the May festival. There's basically all these festivals require fire. That's like an essential element. The bigger the fire, the better, right? A big bonfire. You see that on Samhain. You see that winter solstice, of course. And it is even a transformation between one world and the next. The smoke kind of shows you the invisible It brings light. It's a celebration of light. And traditionally also, you know, especially in modern times, just candle lighting and just very simple things that you can do, you know, such as really spending this time. And as you mentioned, we're going into a nice big fat full moon later this week. And it's also Cancer season. So now we're in astrological sign of Cancer. And that's so full of emotion and heart. And then we're kind of coming out of that Mercury retrograde. And we're just like, we can do this. But it's really actually a time of trying to manifest what truly brings you that light. And it's to fortify you. So it could be that, you know, you stay up all night writing. That's something that I always do on the solstice. I try and just stay up trying to do something that I want to do more of in the following year. And it's actually a really simple thing that it's not too late, you know, all of this week. And as we go into this June, this big, beautiful strawberry moon, you can really, you know, nice, big, juicy moon, you can really kind of put your heart into that. It's a great time to do, you know, love spells and love rituals and just a celebration of things that bring you a lot of pleasure and joy.
That's what I do when I go to bed, and I'm just so hooked on making crystal grids and then from cube and all that spiritual stuff. So we need more of that.
Yeah. So you're kind of trying to manifest what you want more of. So traditionally, like in, you know, perhaps traditional Celtic culture, you would definitely want more food, and you would definitely want more protection and more health and safety and well-being. But you also have to keep in mind that, as with other holidays like this, when the veil is thin and things are running amok, that you should operate with a degree of caution and reverence for the unknown.
Oh yeah, that, yeah, getting into the part of the unknown there is that this is what I found sort of interesting, like where we had like the other holidays, like remember those little sausage skewers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When we get into holidays like, around Christmas time, or even like even Halloween time, harvest time, there seems to be a lot more stories of these little creatures, and they have actually specific purposes, I guess, in their stories and that. And like I said, the part here with the summer solstice. It's mostly just fairies talking around there, but there is other creatures that are out there. You can go into the cryptid scenes, like people are out exploring in the bush, seeing hairy men or Bigfoot, they're seeing these dog men, they're seeing that, because you're out traveling a lot more, you don't have that impact of winter time in the northern hemisphere that's sort of slowing you down, and the night is not as overbearing as winter time is as well, right? So they're a little happier.
Yeah, so that's a good point, right? Like maybe the sightings are also increased because you are out there more, and it feels a little safer to be walking in the woods on a you know, as the sun is setting, because it doesn't go from, you know, light to pitch darkness. And you also have a lot of rituals that surround things like forest creatures or sort of druidic practices that worship the Oak King, or other kind of trees or tree spirits and woodland fairies that are, this is kind of their high season, where you might find other times of the year that you would find, you know, creatures that perhaps dwell a little bit more in caves that come out. But this is a time when you're really, this is kind of the woodland reverence and celebration. And I also think it's a prime time for mermaid sightings. And perhaps this is because the weather's nicer and people are, you know, hanging near the water more. It's been quite hot where I've been, so everyone's swimming in the lakes, and
I think that
the lakes are frozen over, so I think that there's probably a little bit of just like the natural, the fact that you're closer to the sea. But you do have, especially, I have not done this, but I always thought it'd be really interesting to take, you'd have to do it over a series of years, but to take tides, full moons, and compare those historically and presently to sightings. sightings, in particular, like mermaids or other kind of water entities, because we know that those are so, like, the tides and the moon are so tied together.
Yeah.
And it'd be very interesting to do some kind of, like, ridiculous graph of, like, the number of, you know, mermaid sightings that increase during the full moon. But it also is illuminating the sea as well, so it will increase your vision. So to have this, you know, full moon that is so close to the solstice and such a kind of nice counterbalance to this, and it's just, I mean, not to deny that it's also just a big change. I mean, not everyone around the world is able to get out again, and a lot of people are in restrictions. But definitely, I know for here and where I am, and I'm sure where you guys are, it's like, you know, people here just as much as you can be outside as possible. And so, to your point, the more you're outside, the more you're kind of roaming through nature, the more likely you are to see, you know, little men roaming about the woods.
I was going to add something quickly. Somebody sent me this from last night. It's about 21 minutes past 9 on the 21st, which was yesterday. It will be the 21st minute of the 21st hour of the 21st day of the 21st week of the 21st year of the 21st century. Talk about powerful energy.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you guys, and I'm curious if this is something that could be happening with your listeners as well. But I started noticing quite a few synchronicities lately, kind of very bold synchronicities. And for example, I have like four different tarot decks that I just, you know, usually just kind of like pull a card. One is a very traditional Rider-Waite. One is based on Dion Fortune's work. One is the Doltro, which is the Crowley deck. And then one is like an herbal deck, which I like because it always kind of puts me in tune with, like, okay, what's the plant medicine here? And I cannot tell you, probably for the last 2 months, but especially over the last month, so many duplicate cards where I pull from one deck, and one time I had, so three of the four had the same card, and then the next time three of the four had the same card, and then the next time two of the four had the same card, and then just the other day, I pulled two cards that were both, knights, and they were both on horses, but they were different decks, and the way that the decks, when I flipped it over, it was like the horses were riding toward each other, and one was white and one was black. And I was like, man, this does not normally happen to me. Normally, I pull this menagerie, and it confuses me, and I have to look it up. But this has been happening. Again, it's like, whatever the message is coming through. And I think that, like, 21 and some of the things like that, it's, you know, hopefully it's a sign of real kind of like transformation and change. And I think that's something we can all look forward to.
My guest wasn't able to make it on, talk about retrograde issues. The internet went up, came right back on after we were done. So I know sometimes I'll do a replay. I thought, heck, I know how to do a full show. I used to do full night. I used to do Monday through Friday over the network. So I'm all hanging out, just jibber jabber for 2 hours, and I called out a deck. And Jack, who's usually in our chats, was there, and he asked a question. So I gave him a bunch of information about spirit, but I usually don't use decks. I have the new Supernatural one, I just love it. It's so easy. You don't have to look at the book because all the characters, if you know them for the series, you know what it represents on the cards. It's pretty cool. But anyways, everything I told them from spirit came up almost word for word on the cards. It usually does. But it was really, really interesting how it really fulfilled. It was actually an animal card, too. It was Diana Cooper's Oracle deck with Archangels and Animals. A bear. And I'm thinking, why a bear? So I read through the book. It was a newer deck. And I already given him information from looking at the card. And almost word for word what I gave him was right in the book. It was so cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Definitely. From Australia, by the way, too. So thought we'd give her a shout out. She's in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Hey. our mermaid in waiting, you mean?
I know, Dolly, what do you think? I know you don't do cards, but you've been doing synchronicities.
Well, that's sort of interesting there, too, in that you have these riders. You have the pale horse and the dark horse, right? And that, if you think about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, then you see
audiences be different ones that falls into alignment, like what you just shared, or myself, or everything just seems to fall into place.
Yeah, and, there's certainly times that, there's signs all around all the time, right? And sometimes we just aren't tuned into them, but sometimes they're just not that significant, or they don't feel that significant. And then other times, like for me with this death thing, there, it just kept happening. Like every time, like I would go once a week to this deck, and it just kept happening. And that, there's 78 cards in a deck, right? So like, what I'm doing is I'm just pulling it when I get the shivers to pull it out, right? It's like, just pull the card when you get the shivers, and there it is. And also, I belong to a small writing group, and there have been, the other day we met and we all brought pieces, and we hadn't met for a month, and we all brought pieces that we had been working on, and it all had a very similar, like there was at least one main detail in each story that connected them all. And we were in awe. We were like, okay, something very important is happening right now. And, we're going to try our best to not ignore it or cross it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's just crazy. I guess when you're sort of people, a lot of people aren't in tune to anything that's going on besides their own bubble, right? Their own world, their own stuff that's going on. Me and Laura have talked about this many times. A lot of people live their life in blinders. They're not looking around with what's going on there.
Yeah.
When you start noticing stuff like patterns or coincidences, you can actually drive yourself nuts. There was that Mel Gibson movie where he was seeing patterns everywhere, numbers and sequences. I think there's also a movie there too with the guy who played Ghost Rider,
Nicholas Cage,
there, where he saw patterns and numbers and coincidences that seemed to line up with events, and I always find it sort of interesting.
You know, I'd like to ask you, Carla, have you noticed too that with all the shakeup and everything that's going on, so many people are being awakened to spirituality? Like, I am noticing this. Actually, I'm going to message you both to say how crazy busy you are, but I'm going to announce it on here. I'm putting together with a bunch of people that I really respect, and I love their knowledge base and their energy, their personality, such as yourself. We'll see if it'll work out with your schedule. We have about a date set. We're going to try and put on a little bit of conference that's affordable.
Oh, cool.
Well, everybody, we'll work it out, but everybody's got a different knowledge base to pull it all in, because I keep getting nonstop questions, those questions I used to ask years ago about, how do I open my third eye, and how do I hear my guides, and what are chakras, and do crystals really work, and what is astrology, or how do I get a reading, just the basics. And I think it'd be a beautiful thing to pull people with all different types of knowledge bases to really give people well-rounded and kind of like put it up on video, whatever, and you can do it paper. People can access it when they need to keep access of it, because I'm just getting questions like this nonstop. Are you finding this yourself too?
Well, I mean, next year we do it in real life, in person.
Yes.
Let's manifest that.
Yeah,
I know. You could, I won't stumble myself across. It's so close. We're so close.
We'll have a big fire there.
Big bonfire. I'll just follow the signals. I'll just follow the signals straight north to your place. Absolutely. And this is something that, this is a topic that really, really kind of came into my mind a lot during the winter of this, the real heavy winter in the peak of the pandemic. And I live somewhere where you don't really go outside a ton in the winter, but you do gather with friends around the hearth. And that was something that wasn't happening. And so it gives you a lot of time for reflection. And I was really thinking about the spiritualist movement. In the spiritualist movement, which is the belief that the dead have messages for us, not just the spirit, but that the dead have messages for us, and that those messages are actually designed to enlighten or expand our minds, which is what, modern day, new age, or whatever you want to call it, is based on this. And there are practicing spiritualists today. And it was, a movement that was popular in North America and in England from about 1840 to 1930, but it really took off after the American Civil War. And you had, at that point, a nation in mourning. You had a nation torn asunder. You had people who were fighting for rights. You had people who didn't, Juneteenth for 2 years didn't know they were free. You had people who died in battle, and their mothers never knew what happened to them. And so you had this, and then, you had Lincoln's assassination, and you had Mary Todd Lincoln, who had an obsession with actually trying to, her son had died, I think he was 11 years old, their little boy. And so she was conducting seances in the White House, and she was trying to connect with the spirit, and you had this sort of movement toward that. And of course, like with any movement, you get your charlatans, you get your naysayers, you get your true believers.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that the other aspect of the pandemic is the is that nation in mourning, is that world in mourning,
yes,
and also the lack of being able to have death rituals, to have to attend funerals, to say goodbye or be in that collective healing space with other people that, doesn't change what has happened, but at least you know that there are, for example, if someone you love dies, but then their children are there at this service, you can see a little bit of your friend in that, in those people, and it gives you some comfort. And there's a collective healing, there's, food rituals, there's all these things that we do to try and comfort each other. Sometimes we bumble our way through it. And not having that, I think it has made people really have to, look inside and figure out what the, how to process that kind of thing.
And how to be there when the person has passed. I've been thinking about that as well. So not only are you not having that ritual, the wake, I really looked into the Irish wake.
Yeah.
And the beauty in that, that people may not be, but normalizing death, because whether you want to think it or not, I mean, the collective you, death is a normal part of life, just as earth is.
Yes, yes, and not having the, not being able to kind of be there. And actually, that led me down this rabbit hole of thinking about how perhaps when we talk about hauntings and we talk about paranormal, sometimes we think, and of course popular culture and, horror novels and ghost stories have fed this idea that it's, the Ebenezer, or the, the Jacob Marley, the unresolved business on earth. But perhaps it's not unresolved business, it's a lack of death ritual. I mean, we know in Egyptian culture how, especially in ancient Egyptian culture, how incredibly important the death ritual was, and how many things people did to prepare loved ones for the other side. And I haven't read a lot of stories of, pharaohs coming back to haunt someone after they died. So I wonder, too, if that feeds the idea that it's not that someone has unrequited business because perhaps they died a violent death. I mean, I don't know, because this is all paranormal and I'm speculating about the unknown. But the idea that it's really the process of dying and dying alone and not having that sort of shamanistic element of letting go, not that it has to be a shaman, but to have, to be holding hands. And Lorelai, as a retired nurse, right, you know that the rhythm of birth and death is very,
very important. I would say I've been blessed so many hundreds of times through the beginning of working in the NICU. And then part of it is when I worked in the community, I didn't get paid for it, but I really bonded with my families and my areas. So they would have my phone number. And a family member, I felt so honored to be there hundreds of times at the end of somebody's life, because families, the person that was going through the process, would choose to die at home and they need the support. And so, as it got closer, and there's always signs when it's getting close, And family would call like 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go out and be there with them as they passed. I at that time I wasn't allowed to pronounce, but it's pretty evident when somebody has passed, and you just call the doctor in to come pronounce at home. But the thing is, yeah, exactly. It's a whole process. Okay. You need a lot of support because death is very scary.
Yeah, and then you're a death doula. Mm-hmm. You're a death doula in that situation.
You're up here a little bit here. Okay, I have to disappear here for a bit. You guys can continue on the delicious recipe and let Laura Lee take over my clothes here. I gotta go to work. We started a little bit late here today.
Oh, no.
I know. This is so sad. The working man. I know. Now Laura Lee gets to smooth all for herself here, so I just want to say before I go, thank you very much, Marla, for showing up here and being so patient with us. I will talk to you later after I'm done, and I will send you a link for everything.
Thank you.
This is the worst I've ever done. This is my own show. I'm leaving my own show.
Okay, you're in good hands.
Okay, I'll let you guys continue on there, and thank you very much for being so patient with everything that happened here tonight.
No problem.
And I'll be in touch with you. What's that? Yep, goodbye.
Bye.
He just started this job, so sometimes he goes in at 11, sometimes it's at 10, and of course tonight it probably goes right at 10 o'clock, right?
Yeah, right.
And
like, no.
Have to go, so, because I know you couldn't stay for...
We can do the, we started late, so we can do the hour as we normally would do, and I actually am not sure exactly what time you started, but let's just do our normal thing here, and
Because we're not doing the show right now. It's kind of on hiatus, so that I usually do afterwards anyway. So I get to hang out with you. You should get cool edgewise with Dell.
Well, he's always got so many interesting questions that he's, but yeah, we have a late start. So yeah.
Well, I always did the paranormal stuff, and he didn't. And then as he started doing this podcast, and originally it was just, I like to call it truth seeking, not conspiracy theory, but people recognize conspiracy theory. And now as he's met you and other people, he's really developed an interest because, as I always say, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, the more I open this door, the more smaller than oneself organism I feel when it comes to the amount of knowledge. What's your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Because let me tell you, I did a whole book on fairies. And no sooner did I publish that book than I learned about, 10,000 other creatures, including all of those incredible Icelandic sausage stealing trolls. And also, I first came upon those at my son's school. One of their projects was to research like a holiday, and he chose Halloween, but he chose Halloween candy. I was still pretty proud. But I walked around, and there were a bunch of fifth graders, basically, who they had all this interesting folklore because they chose a holiday, and some of them chose Christmas, and some of them chose solstice, and so they chose all different kinds of holidays. So it was pretty interesting, and it's the unknown, and so you will. One thing that is consistent is you will gather more and more and more evidence as you go. And I love listening to other people's stories. I love hearing people's stories of their encounters or things that they don't completely understand. And I think that I know that there are several younger people in my life, like my nieces and nephews. They're out of this generation that are just now, becoming adults. And they are so in tune with magic, and they're in tune with politics. They're in tune with the world in general, but not in the way that I think when I was that age, I felt overwhelmed by it because it felt like insurmountable. And they have this kind of like calmness and strength that I've never seen that before in kids that young. And not to like say, okay, well, the kids are all going to save us, but I feel like there's a greater understanding and open. open-mindedness that is there, and that at their core there's an open-mindedness to different ways of life, different ways of thinking,